I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins, and I won the victory. Sing it with me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he left me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Lord, we've come to a time in this service now when we open the pages of your word and we expound its truth. We know, O Lord, that your word is like a hammer that grinds on a rebellious heart to powder. We know that your word is like a fresh drink of water, and it's like honey in our mouth. Your word is a sweet savor of incense that comes up before the Lord. Your word is so durable that it is eternal, and it's established forever in the heavens. God, we ask you that that word today would become light and life to us. Touch us, O Lord, with the anointing of your Spirit that we can preach those unsearchable riches today through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In the Christmas story, there is this scene where Ralphie is helping his father, and out of his mouth comes what his mother called the mother of all cuss words. When you're out in the culture in which we live and you mix and mingle a lot with unconverted people, you hear profanity, expletives. Sometimes someone will stump their toe and out of their mouth will come some expletive. Aren't I nice today to use those words, expletive, instead of just calling it cussing? An expletive. But sometimes when those expletives, though filthy in nature and constitute what the Bible calls filthy communication that shouldn't proceed out of our mouth, there comes out a word that since we were children, we were just, that was the most heinous of all words that could ever come out of anybody's mouth. And it's that taking the Lord's name in vain, as we come to know it. I heard a mother say to a child this last week, you're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. And that kind of struck a note in my mind, and I said, I know we've always used that. My mama used that, along with some Lifebuoy soap. And of all the flavors you could get, coral is the most despicable of it all, strongest and lasts longer than any other flavor of Lifebuoy. My mother used Lifebuoy because you could smell it and she could tell we'd taken a bath. But boy, it was bad when you had to put it in your mouth. I wonder what God thinks when he starts looking at communication that comes out of our mouth. Why is communication and words so important? Because the Bible said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's in our heart, our speech will betray us. And it is an indicator of what is really in our hearts. Well, we know that thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain is the third commandment. And that it composes what we call the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments as we would know them. But among theologians and among scholars, it's called the Decalogue. The Decalogue is that set of laws that the Bible gave God gave to Moses and the Bible gives to us in the book of Exodus that is not there to restrict us. Those thou shalt nots are not there to make life miserable to us or rob us from any pleasures that we might have. Oftentimes when we deal with our children, they don't like some things we impose upon them. Like when we get out and it's a high traffic area, I'll say, you got to hold my hand now. And, well, I can walk myself. I know you can, but I need to hold your hand. And oftentimes they'll go, and don't like that. But you see, it's a whole lot better for you to take the hand of the person who is watching over you than it is for you to step out in front of a car and get wiped out. So oftentimes when things are said to us like a set of rules that help us to live better and live free. Now, isn't it interesting that when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, then he gave them a set of commandments. He said, this will help you live free. This will help you live after you've been emancipated. This will help you ordain your steps after you have come out of the oppression and out of the bitterness and the bondage in Egypt. In other words, God gives us these commandments not to make life miserable for us. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All those things in there. And the heavier weight of one, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, it gets real weighty. But when he gets down to the third one, he just simply says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And so many times we've just kind of condensed that and packaged that into don't say that colossal cuss word. But really what it means is much more than just that. You see, when we become converted and we become regenerate by the Spirit of God, we take on a new name. We take on the name of Christian. We take on the name of God. We take on his name because his name identifies who we are and where we came from. In other words, in Hebrew times, they would say Joseph ben Nazareth. Ben means where he's from. He's from Nazareth. His father, he's of this house, he's of this lineage, he is of a certain name and a certain house. The Bible said, we are the household of God. We are members in particular, the Bible said, of the household of God. We're a holy temple that's fitly framed together. We are not strangers and foreigners any longer, but we're now members of the family of God. And you know what? When I was born into Rankin and Beulah Irwin's family, I became an Irwin. I became an Irwin. By birth, I became an Irwin. I assumed that name. And when I stood with that sweet little Fincher girl back there at the church the night we married, from that night, she took my name. That she is no longer Debbie Fincher. She is now Debbie Irwin. And so with my daughter Rachel, she took the name of Hutchison because she's no longer Irwin. I gave her away. Started to say didn't get much for her, but I gave her away. All those years, those 19 or 20 years or so, amen, and not far from you giving your daughter away a couple of weeks in the same month. Amen. Oh, Lord, it cost a whole lot to get a kid to 19, 20 years of age. And just to walk in and give her away and then be told, you can't even stand up here any longer. Go down there and sit down with your wife. And you give her that little peck on the cheek and take her hand and put it over in the hand of this man that's standing there. that all he's ever done is buy her a coat. And so from then on, she's not a Irwin anymore. She's now a Hutchison. Wow. When we come into the family of God, we're actually becoming a part of his household. We have an elder brother, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. And we're a part of the family of God. Have you heard it sung? Oh, it gets sung a lot of times. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. When we become a part of his family, we're children of God. To as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. Beloved, now that we are become the sons of God, we're all children of God, daughters of God. We are the people of God, the children of God in his household. And therefore, we bear his name, bear his name. So then when the Bible tells us that we should not profane or misrepresent or use the name of the Lord in vain, then we're told not to do something that's very important to God, because he tells us later that we would not be without guilt. And I'm asked all the time, Pastor, you mean if we say Jesus when we're mad? Well, that's not giving honor to Jesus. It's actually kind of demeaning, and it's kind of lessening the glory that is given to Jesus. It's going to get quieter. It's quiet now. You think it's quiet now. Just wait till I get through. Actually, the word take the name of the Lord in vain in the Hebrew means empty out. So every time that I take the name of the Lord in vain, I am emptying out of my life some of the glory, some of the grace, some of the peace, some of the joy, some of the love that belongs from my relationship with Jesus. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're continually using slogans and little words that take away from the glory of the Lord, it's lessening and emptying out how we really feel about the Lord Jesus. We're going to have a good altar service right here in a few minutes, I know. Because he forgives. He forgives and he forgets and he heals. You see, last Wednesday night we fell upon a great verse. It's in the book of Jude, and it tells us always to be building ourselves up in the Holy Ghost. Building ourselves up in the Holy Ghost. So our task then becomes whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are Christ-honoring and God-honoring. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. How did faith become most holy? Because God's character is holy. And because God is holy, and it says, be ye holy. His son Jesus is holy, so he is a savior who is holy. He is a deliverer and a redeemer who is holy. Then he said, therefore be ye holy in all conversation. Amen. And that great word in the 19th Psalm that closes out the chapter. Let the words... Can we say it together? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a great verse. It's a prayer. Is it your prayer? Is it your heart's desire? O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Praise the Lord. It is for our good that God says to us, thou shalt not empty out the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, they are saved. Did you know that's a scripture? That the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it, and they are saved. What a name. What a lovely name. What a powerful name. And I did not contact Justin and find out that the name for joy is Jesus, and the name for peace is Jesus, and the name for grace is Jesus, and the name for gift is Jesus, and the name for healing is Jesus, and the name for forgiveness is Jesus, and the name for love and kindness is Jesus. That Jesus is the expression of God's character, in that he is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness. And wow, that Jesus, the name of Jesus. In fact, his name, Jesus, means the one who saves. In fact, the angel in Matthew 1:21 told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So always our name should be building up that strong name, that strong tower. How strong is your tower? I said, how strong is your tower? If we empty out the power that is in that name, when we use it and misrepresent it, when we take God's name and use it in a manner that does not build up, come on somebody, but rather we attach it to something that tears down, or we attach his name to something that we're disappointed in, or we attach his name to something that makes us mad, or we attach his name to something that depresses us or brings us sadness or sorrow. Come on, somebody. You mean, Pastor, I need to quit putting OMG on my Facebook? Come on, somebody. Lost my job last week. Oh, my God. That just empties out the fact that God is the one that gave you that job. That just empties out all of that praise and worship that we ought to have for him for giving it to us in the beginning. And it also empties out any trust that we might have for him giving me another one. I told you it's going to get quiet. It'll probably get quieter. Because what has happened is that culture has imposed its will upon us, and that somehow we have let ourselves become more like them than making them more like us. We've accepted the worldly way to the point that it takes away from who we are and who he is and the relationship that we have with him. You always wanted to know, what does it mean to take the word of the Lord, the name of the Lord, in vain? What does it mean? It means that we are emptying out the Lord of all the things that are ascribed to his name. So it doesn't just refer to a certain tone of voice or a certain use of a word. It's dealing with God and speaking of God in a way that empties him of his significance and empties him of his grace and glory. Wow. God, Christ, the cross, the things of God, what he is and what he does, they're weighty things. There is nothing more weighty than the grace of God. Nothing more weighty than the cross of the Lord Jesus. Nothing more weighty than prayer. Nothing more weighty than the Word of God. And I'll tell you, I'm in line too. I'm preaching to Jerry this morning. Because I'm kind of in the habit of, well, my Lord. Well, my God. And so I'm preaching to you out of a heart of conviction this morning. Because when that woman said that to her son, and I went to the Word of God to find out what that really, really means. It doesn't just mean don't cuss. Don't say that colossal mother of all cuss words word. It's much more than that. It means don't empty out God of any of his glory, any of his grace, any of his mercy, any of his blood's power to cleanse, or his Holy Spirit's ability to comfort and bless. All that is God, instead of emptying it out, build it up. I said, build it up. Pastor, should I cuss then using the devil? Be a whole lot better using God. Instead of when you stump your toe, say, devil. Come on, somebody. Well, Brother Jerry, the devil didn't make me do everything. I'm not saying he made you do it. I'm teaching to use a word that's attached to failure. I'm telling you a word that's attached to killing, thieving, lying, cheating. Come on. If you want to attach a word that you can really, really cuss accurately, because the devil is the dammer. The devil is the murderer. The devil is the thief. The devil is the one that ruins lives and ruins homes. The devil is the one that makes shipwreck of people's life. Not God. Not God. He's the blesser. He builds us up. He strengthens us. He encourages us. He helps us. He helps us. What ways do we do that other than just using his name when we stump our toe? A positive way to look at it is to reverse, to revere God, love God, and delight in God. I know that God lights up your life, and God does things in abundance in your heart, and he does things that help and bless you, and you need to be reminded that he is that kind of a God in you. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? I do that by singing spiritual songs, making melody in my heart. I do that by lifting up the Lord in my private time of devotion. In fact, Psalm 20:1 says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Wow. Jesus taught in John 17:26, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." His saving work, but as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Acts 3:6, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, outside that gate which is called Beautiful at the temple. When the pauper lifted up his cup to him and he said, Alms, alms. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he immediately upstood and went his way into the temple, leaping and rejoicing and praising God. That name of Jesus, that name of God, that strong tower other great passage, Psalm 113, 1 through 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah 24, give glory to the name of the Lord. Ezekiel 39, God will vindicate what? His holy name. Acts 2, 21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God hath given him a name that we preach in his name. We minister in his name. We worship in his name. We preach in his name. We sing in his name. We teach Sunday school in his name. We do save a life in his name. Woo! In fact, the Bible said, do all things in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might and do it in the name of Jesus. You see, there's such power in that name that it brings a presence that no other name brings. When I say George Washington to you, how about Benjamin Franklin? Donald Trump? Barack Obama? Margaret Thatcher? John Glenn? Tiger Woods? Listen. Jesus. Did you get the impact of that? When I say master, he drives away all my fears. When I say father, my blinded eyes can see, but when I say Jesus, he speaks peace to me. You see, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. There is no other name. There is no other name. There is no other name whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon that name shall be saved. Hallelujah. Wow. When Jesus taught us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, say it with me, hallowed be thy name. Oh, over and over in Scripture we're taught and implored, exalt the name of Jesus, exalt the name of our God. Yahweh is his name, Elohim. It's his name. Hallelujah. It means the one who saves. The one who saves. Is there anybody in this house today that knows the name of God is the one who saves? Praise God, he is still the one who saves. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to do anything. I want to act in any kind of way that will empty out his power to save, his power to redeem and change lives, his power to let people know that he's right for whatever's wrong in their life. No word, no act or deed shall ever empty out the power of God's grace and love. Hallelujah. Wow. I'll tell you another way that sometimes we empty out the name of the Lord. And all of us, including me, we've been guilty of this. in light of this definition, 2 Timothy 2 and 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Didn't say he judges them. Said he knows them. I'm glad he knows me. I said, I'm glad he knows me. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In light of our definition, our explanation that we found out, let's just enlarge upon some of these ways that Christ's followers can offend that commandment. We take on the name of Christ, but if we fail to walk in the light, we misrepresent who God is in living out our lives. When we desire to make our name greater than the name of God, it's the same as using the big word. You're kidding me, Pastor. No, when you're more concerned about building you a name than you are in lifting up the name, then that's the same as swearing or cursing by that awful word. Wow. You see, our ambition ought to be to make his name great. Our ambition ought to be to lift him up and make his name the greatest name of all the earth. Revelation 3 and 1, there's this church called Sardis. Listen to this. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Those are the pastors. I hope he's got us in his hand. I know thy works. You believe God knows our works? God said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name. You've got a name. Your church has a name. Thou hast a name that you are alive. You want to read the rest of it for me? I don't know if I've got the courage. But you are really got a name, but it's right the opposite of what you are. In trying to build them a name, in trying to make their name great, they advertised, we're great, we're alive, we've got the spirit over here, we got it going on over here, we're successful, we're doing a good job, we got it going on over here. But then God said, right the opposite. While you're building you a name, God said you should be building up my name and lifting up my name. Instead of making yourself great, you should be making me great. Should be making me great. I know we're not shouting this morning, but I still feel the presence of the Lord here. Even after taking on God's name, sometimes we're reluctant to lay down that desire to make our name great. Although it is the name of Christ that should be named among the nations, many times we want our names. Second way that we can offend this commandment, we may swear by God's name when an oath will not be fulfilled. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying, God be my helper. If the Lord wills. In fact, we're instructed not to say, I will do this and I will do that tomorrow. We should rather say, Lord willing, or God willing, I intend to do this. That's perfectly all right. That's biblical to do that. But to make a statement like, I swear to God, that's attaching God's name to something that is unstable. Because the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He may say, I swear to God, but he's attaching God's name to something that depends upon somebody else's performance. Whew. Y'all are beating me up this morning. Because that's tough plowing. That's tough to plow that field. But when we make those kind of statements and attach God's name to an oath, then do we really take how serious that is when we say things like that? When we attach God to something we intend to do and a day or two later forget all about it and don't really follow through, come on, somebody. What does that do to God's name that we attach to something that we fail to follow through on? Boy, that's tough, isn't it? I understand. Don, be sweet to y'all. He'll tell you them sweet things in just a minute. I've got the lash out this morning. But it's on me before it's on you. Anytime we attach God to something, and here's another way, by just flippantly using God's name. Like God said, God told me. Make sure when you say God told me that God told you. Don't just say that flippantly and don't say that lightly and don't say that without, it's a weighty thing to attach God's name to something. Come on, somebody, that's right. Don and I often talk about things people tell us that they said God told them. Well, did you know I can't argue with God? And most of the time, if we're having a conversation and you tell me God told you something, you won't get any rebuttal from me. That's the end of the discussion right there, because if God told you that, I don't have any other comment. Amen, preacher. Be careful what we say and obligate God to. Be careful when we employ such slogans as that. God told me this, or God said this, or God said no. You know what Jesus said about it? He said, you don't have to say, I swear to God. Jesus said, just let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, and you won't have to swear by anybody. Amen. And it's all right to say, God being my helper, or God willing. That's all right. Be careful how you put on t-shirts. Make sure they're scripturally accurate. Because sometimes you get one that don't really honor the Lord. Church signs are humorous, aren't they? Went by one the other day that said, certain Church of God, number two. Oh, yeah, I remember one. The original Church of God, number two. The original Church of God, number two. They must have got mad, split off from the original somewhere and became two. Saw one the other day that said, don't go to hell, come to our Holy Ghost weenie roast. Come to our Holy Ghost weenie roast. Well, that's going nowhere, and I better get off of that trail quick. Don't attach God's name to something frivolous or insincere or trivial. God's grace and God's ability to save somebody from hell is much weightier a matter than a weenie roast. Amen! I'll amen my own preaching at that. God's grace and God's power, God's ability to save, the blood of Jesus, it's worth far more than attending a social event somewhere. Come on and help me quit. They said, thank God. You know, if you want to find someone that honors the name of God, you'll have to go to Jesus. Jesus said this, I come in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, I have come, and you won't receive me. Another shall come in his own name, and him you will receive. Are you hearing what Pastor's saying? That we're more, that says our culture is more apt to accept a person who operates in his own name than we are someone who operates in the name of Jesus. Boy, that's weighty, isn't it? Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. You won't receive me. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. You see, when Jesus prayed that prayer in the garden, he honored the name of the Lord, and he said to God, the same glory that you and I had in the beginning, that same glory, that same relationship, he said, I now want to extend to them. And I want them, O Lord, to be a part of you and me. Whew. I in you, you in me, and us in them. Boy, somebody ought to shout it out of your Holy Ghost seat right there. That Jesus asked the Father to include you in his relationship with God. And he said, God, the same way that you think of me, that's how I want you to think of Mark Green. The same glory that you and I have, I want Mark Green to participate and be involved in that same glory. Wow. Michelle, that just blows my socks off. To think that Jesus prayed a prayer for you to be included in this relationship that he has with God the Father. Because of what he was doing in the garden and what he did at the cross and what happened at the grave, Jesus was saying, I want all of them to be a part of us in such a manner that I am in you and you are in me and both of us are in them. Do you realize how special that is? Do you realize how wonderfully holy that is? I don't want to empty out any of that, do you? I don't want any of that to lose any of its weightiness. Stand with me, please. Somebody say, Pastor preached a message today about quit cussing. No, it was a better message about honoring the name of the Lord. To rise above how the world expresses aggravation and not be tempted by being like the world and the culture in which we live. If you're ever going to make a difference, we've got to rise above how the world acts and how the world talks. If we're ever going to be salt and light, we've got to differentiate between how they handle things and how we do. Amen. Amen. You see, Don and I had a good friend. He's going on to glory now. In Jesus' name. Buddy, he had a temper. He could go from stone cold to white hot in a matter of seconds. Amen. And he could use some words that would curl your hair. A deacon. You see, when our words and our actions don't supersede the words and the actions of the world. You see, in this culture, it seems like the church is becoming more worldly and the world is becoming more churchy. It seems like it's hard to tell the difference anymore. And living a life that doesn't empty out God of His power and His grace and His holiness and His righteousness, that's the objective, for us to live where God retains that, and that we show that to other people in our lives, that we live that way. Live in such a way that they can tell a difference. That they come to you on break time and say, "I see that you don't gather up with the other guys over there. When break time comes, I see you off on the corner somewhere. You got a little book. What is that book that you've got?" "Well, that's a Bible. And I just take a break and read some scripture on the way." You don't have to be obnoxious to do that. I said you don't have to be obnoxious to be light and salt. You can be light and salt and not be overbearing and not be sarcastic. Come on, somebody. Just lift up the name. 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 Because the name for joy is Jesus. And the name for love is Jesus. And the name for peace is Jesus. And when troublous times come, who do you think they're going to seek out? That person that lifts up the name. I believe in Holy Spirit baptism. I believe in healing, virtue that come from the grace of God through the act of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. I believe that a person can be healed. I believe that God touches people and that people can. I lay hands on people and I anoint them with oil. There was a prominent pastor in this area when I moved to Anniston who didn't believe in Holy Spirit baptism and didn't believe in laying on of hands and anointing with oil and miracles and that kind of thing. I would see him at restaurants and he wouldn't speak to me. Never did speak to me until one day. Had a program that came on after my program. And he didn't have to study because whatever I preached is what he preached. Against. I said against. But one day he came from a doctor's office and a doctor told him that a test had come back positive for cancer and they had only a few months to live. And I'll never forget the day that I was in a restaurant and he was there. And he walked over to where I was. And he looked me in the eye. And he said, "Brother Jerry," he said, "I first want to tell you I'm sorry for all the feelings I've had towards you. But his second request was, could I get you to pray for me?" "Could you get me to pray for you?" I said. He said, "Yes, I need you to pray for me." I actually gave him a prayer cloth. You see, as long as you're walking around healthy and full, you can say what you won't do and what you're going to do, and this and that, and that. But when you become needy, I said, when you become needy, and when people get in trouble, they start looking for somebody that believes God and got confidence in the name of the Lord. They send prayer requests over to a church that believes that God can heal. They call a pastor up and leave a message on his phone. "I need you to pray for this one and that one and the other one. They've got this and that and the other." But I'll tell you this, I'll never relinquish my belief that God can do anything, that faith in Him can move impossible things. I'll never change that. So if my speech is emptying out of my heart some of that belief, then I'm going to alter my speech. If I'm just a little bit less faithful and just a little bit less believing because of things my mouth says, then I'll stop doing that, because I need all of God I can get. I need all of His grace I can keep. I need all of His name in me. I need all of it. I don't need to empty any of it out, Greg. I need to keep it all. So God, I pledge to You this morning, in the presence of Holy Ghost-filled people, that I'll adjust my walk and I'll adjust my talk. And I'll do things and I'll say things and act in ways that build You up and lift You up rather than empty You out. Amen, 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 amen. Stretch your hand this way. Let's have that prayer. God, it's been hard to preach Your word this morning. I would rather have shouted with these folks. I would rather have excited them with great nuggets from the word of God that thrilled their heart and made them jump out of their seat and clap their hands and holler glory. But Lord, You gave us a message today to inform us that where things are leaking out of our vessel, that we can stop the leak, that we can stop that flow, that we can do things that make God more powerful, make His love more blessed, make His grace more sufficient, make His blood more cleansing, that we can do things, Lord, to make God bigger and greater and larger in our lives. And Lord, we want to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And God, we just pray in Jesus' name that everyone in this house today, Lord, draws close to Your side, that everyone in this house today becomes a tool and an implement that You can use to let somebody know that the name of the Lord is salvation. Touch us, God, as we depart from this place. Give us an enjoyable remainder of this day. In Jesus' name.